And I expect the ones working with me to do their job to the best of their ability. Because I expect it of myself. You sit on the secret of life. And Norma will tell you, they were just discussing this in break. I have no relationship to it. I tell her what to do, and she grits her teeth, and she goes in there, and she says, "Sir, I really don't like putting charcoal in hydrogen peroxide. It just doesn't make me feel good." "Just put it in there, sweetheart." And sure enough, it boils and foams and spews and melts, and sure enough, look what you've done. Actually, it didn't go boom, did it? You have a new product, a new element. You have life. You have life. You have the cellular structure of life. Nobody else in the world has it. Just you. Oh, each has their bottle. And if they knew what to do, each could reproduce it just exactly like all science. If you can make an automobile, then everybody else who can bend a piece of metal or put a nut together in the right position can build a car. You have been given life. And I hear her now. "Yeah, but you didn't give us a secret." Wouldn't be wise, little one. Wouldn't be wise. You've been given the trust of holding this, just like a mommy or daddy with that babe. That is a creation beyond anything you understand. Because it comes with life, not just a little being. You are blessed because your children are coming with souls. I don't want to scare you know what out of you. But that movie, The Seventh Sign, is so close to the truth that you don't understand. When the gulf is empty of souls, you're done. That means that you are producing no more souls to fill the lives. Life only begins in that cell. And you have it. And you have it in absolute and total perfection. And all people have to do is get it and use it. And then you are given, not somebody else's idea. You have structured and tampered and tinkered according to my asking you. Until you have the only colloids that are worth having. Gold alone with silicone, silica, the substance of data holding for your computers. You perfect the connectors and you put up the silicon and your brains can become mammoth in data holding. And earthquakes and lawsuits and everything else fall away. You will find yourself looking at this bottle of stuff coming up to eat its vitamin C. And you will say, "And I have to worry about George Green? I have to worry about soup?" You have given me the substance of life, you say? And then she just hands it back and says, "You're right, I'm overwhelmed. I have no comprehension of it." And she doesn't. I can't let her comprehend it. The moment you start trying to comprehend, you begin to pull into yourself and say, "That's mine." It gets bad enough, you know, when we're working. And she says, "I cannot do one more thing." How can I do one more thing when I can't even reap the rewards because George stole it all? We're still going, aren't we? We still have some kind of shelter, and if you run out, you can double up. We're not run out. God's guff does not run out. And neither does His cup. Only you are so afraid that it will run out that you panic. How many fall this far short of success in their own eyes? I listen to the quibbling going on over whether or not you can have an abortion of this kind or that kind in the latter trimester of pregnancy. And you're talking about pulling arms off babies, legs off babies. And then you pull it out of the birth canal far enough to stab it in the base of the skull with a pair of scissors. And then you suck out this, and what do? With this fetal tissue, you treat Parkinson's disease. They come usually in elderly men from abuses during their life. And I'm sorry, people, it is not all right. I cannot stop you from having freedom of choice, but I will not condone it. And I will not stop you from murdering, but I do not condone it. And I will absolutely love you, but you're going to get confronted every time you deliberately go against God. I don't expect you to believe in angels or hosts, but if you don't, I don't know why you're here. Because that's all I'm about. And you can watch your watch your TV and listen to your radio programs, and you're going to get more and more and more proof of things. At some point, you're not going to know whether that's of God or of man. And you see, I don't have any enemy outside of man, so I'm going to put it right where it's at. You don't have to worry. All you need to do is say, is that of God or is that of man? That really becomes your only two choices. Because you're not in the dimension whether you have to worry about negative energies versus good energies or any of that. That's the problem of another dimension. You deal with the one you're in and then discuss whether or not you should deal with one higher. And most of you who come to work with me have already done that. And a lot ask because they're trying to get reassurance or confirmation for their own feelings. They're looking for their purpose. And then you'll get some. Maybe it's not here. Maybe all of you would like to read this if you get a chance. It's really quite nice unless you really look at it. And this is one that says, well, quit laying such a heavy trip on us. And so forth. In other words, I like your books, now go mind your business. And I really don't quite understand how I'm going to do that. My books are my business. So, and people don't like, you know, wishy-washy about Peter Beter or wishy-washy about Bo Greitz. I'm not wishy-washy about them. Bo Greitz had an opportunity to swing into the court of God and be the Son of God. And he chooses to be the son of Satan. How it will work out eventually, I don't know. He is so brain warped. And I don't mean to insult him. But that man trained the troops that killed the people in Jonestown, in Guyana. He was in charge of the drug operations, etc., for the CIA and the special forces. It's called Delta Force. In Panama. He was sent in there to get rid of Noriega and had him in his gun sights when he was shut down. He went and trained the troops who killed the people at Jonestown. Jim Jones was taken out by helicopter, by plane, by the Israelis. That place is again full of people being trained. 400 and some odd were given lethal injections in Jonestown. 500 and some odd fled to the forest, to the jungle, only to meet the CIA and the special forces who killed them and brought them back and dumped them in a heap. That's why your counting was so off. And I have it all here. I had hoped we might get to it a little bit today. Anybody remember how sweet Colonel Geitz was to us on the radio? Well, somebody said that he took some money and didn't come through, and so Mr. Geitz is suing this radio talk host right here. I don't make these things up. God is absolute. He's not unconditional. And I guess I feel this way about it, people. If I have to be as nearly perfect as I am demanded to be in my position, don't think you're going to get off. I can put up with a lot, but I ain't going to look bad in front of my commander. I want to go onto this tape because ones have been so thoughtful and so gracious and so caring of Zita during this period of time. You are loving, loving people. And I'm sick and tired of having to come down here and make it look like I'm preaching to my own choir. Your voices are like angels, and I'm telling you, you are wonderful. And this is part of my job that I don't like. And the word has to go out this way because we don't have an audience. We don't have a network. And we're doing just fine. And Zita expressed her feelings to me. And they're to everybody. And I want it shared. And so I would like Rick to read just the letter that she wrote. Because I want it on this tape to go out to the ones that are friends. We are family. And they've ruined the name family, haven't they? The skinheads are family. No, they're not. They're misfits. Mistrained, untrained, and they're evil. Or all of them. How can I answer that? It's like the 14-year-old child that will go sleep with a known AIDS person. At 14, I doubt you can be that evil. So they may be misdirected, but I'm telling you, it's wrong. And I'm not going to make it sound right. And we have to, above all, know what is right and what is wrong. Rick, please read the letter, or we'll be here till morning. I get wound up.
Open letter to Hatton from Zita. I think that means Doris may read this too. In your writing of 11395, number 1, You challenged me and others to use my cancer, quote, as an opportunity that otherwise is neglected, to give a focus, love, appreciation, and caring to another, end quote. Dear Hatton, there has been such an outpouring of that love, prayers said on my behalf, and an overwhelming feeling of light and love that it is almost beyond putting into words. You said it is a private writing to me. You said in a private writing to me, quote, you are cherished and we stand guard and we shall also stand watch with you, end quote. As Rick and I left last Friday at 4:30 a.m. on November 3rd, we drove toward Bakersfield, and in the quietness of the morning, I felt you with us. Hours later, as the T's were driving there, as Sandy spotted a ship parked over Bakersfield. She was on her way to wait with Rick. I want to share with you what your promise meant to me in the ensuing hours and days. Your presence was felt in the operating room. I told the doctor that he had help. And later in my room, everyone, doctors, nurses, orderlies, were touched by your presence. I have never experienced the love and care given by each and every one of them to me. You told me that you would not leave me to move through this alone. Quote, you can never, ever again be alone again, end quote. And yes, Etan, I have released it to God and will flow in His infinite wisdom with His will and timing. Thank you for this blessed opportunity. For previous to this, I feel I was robotically, no pun, moving through life. But now I can see the beauty, love, concern of all, and I'm so uplifted by it. If it took this lesson to see the beauty in all, loved ones come together, opening of self to experience it all, then so be it. Sunday after a not so pleasant night, Marjorie brought me my noon meal, which turned out to be
soup.
The day's meal, salad and beef stew. On Monday, it was Sandy's turn for her gift of love. Joan brought a backless plastic chair for the bathtub and a new special shower massager, which Jeff placed on the faucet immediately. Sandy was there to help me initiate it with a bath. Ah, how good it felt. There were flowers from the ground crew, beautiful red roses from Rick, another fall bouquet from his father, and of course the breathtaking holiday arrangement from Doris and EJ, along with the huge white teddy bear that captured all the hearts of the staff of the hospital. And the gifts of love continued. Darling little angels, writing paper, favorite cologne, body lotion, a gift of balancing my body in prep for the operation, the gift of Nora's driving me to and from Bakersfield for appointments when I knew there was research to be done. Al lovingly is filling in for me at work. And so, Hatan, after that challenge to us, I just had to share. Did we meet the challenge? In your letter, you consoled me in answer to why me. Yes, Hatan, I know why me. I wouldn't trade this lesson for all of my life's lessons. Thank you, Hatan, for being there for me. I know I'll never be alone ever again. Love, Zita.
Now, I ask you, is she all right or not?
She's all right.
And she gave each of us an opportunity to share. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Not a little blob of mutant cells. And I want to take this opportunity again to tell you, that's what surgeons are good for. Good technicians, when you're in good shape and you are being burdened with something and you can get it out, do it. It doesn't matter whether you are healed or not, because you are not sick. But why would you put the body through the incredible job with all the stresses that you have while you are focused on nothing else if you have an opportunity to have it removed? It is like a boil. For goodness sakes, lance it if it needs it. And we're pleased and we thank you for the opportunity of sharing this. We each need each other, for goodness sakes. I need you. Maybe I don't say it enough. I need you. To ask me, well, does that mean I'm indispensable? No. Because there is nothing in the universe indispensable short of God. And He will sometimes make you dispensable to make a point. I am not indispensable. You are not indispensable. But oh, what a gift we bring to each other. And we can bring about a healed world if we want to. But I'm not going to get down and grovel in politics. If that's what Jackson and a bunch want to do, then go for it. I tried to do that while we were growing enough to get on our feet with Colonel Gripes. I had a double purpose there. And until it's over, you don't know how it ends. Fortunately, I know how it ends, and it doesn't matter. I am relying more and more and more on my own compatriots. I meant it. If you want to know all about what I have done, I can explain it, but I'm not going to. If you want alchemy, then for goodness sakes, go to the professor. Go to Germain. When the time is right, he'll be right there to tell you exactly what is happening. We're going to bring in some others who work with brown gas. You see, you can alchemize and get gold out of, quote, nothing. But obviously nothing does not mean nothing, does it? Zero is only a point, a given point, a focus, a vortex. There's less than nothing and there's more than nothing. But you still have to say, it's nothing. Well, you can't have nothing. Not in the greatest vacuum that you can conceive on earth. There isn't nothing. And life is happening. And I'm relying more and more on you receivers. It isn't that we're going to make anybody get up and give speeches or write another 150 journals. We don't need that. I have to have ones listening to Tesla. And it's going to get harder as the very waves get more and more scrambled. But you've had enough practice now, you'll be able to sort. And I don't really know how to tell you to get through this period of time. You have to remember, for one thing, they cannot leave the grid on full blast all the time because they're dealing with two different things, very, very low frequency and very, very high frequency. And they're going to wipe themselves out. So they will play at this. And all I can tell you to do is keep your light shields. I'm talking about your light shields. That's high enough in frequency that you can keep yourself surrounded and shielded. And I will see to the plasma shield. And if you want a definition or whatever of a plasma shield, Dr. Young will keep you after class and explain it to you. We're talking about electronic energy plasmic shields because the weapons of choice now are beams. And in the meanwhile, they will use some of their little nuclear devices. And they'll do some trial runs with a lot of very uncomfortable things. So when you hear the ringing in your ear, get as quiet as you can and listen to it. Just see, right now, I hear. It sounds like a siren, doesn't it? Try to close out those kinds of things and listen to what's going on in your head. It's not coming. That came in through your ear. Obviously, it was a sound. It's that stuff between your ears. Listen to it. It's there, isn't it? And it'll stop at one frequency and pick up at another, so you know it isn't your ears ringing. And they're going to hit you with things below the ELF level, below the woodpecker level. And that will distress you. And then they'll pump you up with a harp system that is so high shrill frequency as to really bring pain. It's up to you to balance these out. And you will notice that you are accustomed to it in this valley enough that you will hear it. You will literally hear it balancing itself in your head, in your brain. You'll be able to hear those little synapses opening and closing and shifting. And soon enough, your brain will immediately begin to counter those. Well, it gets harder when you have to work at electronic equipment and they're playing with it. Because you have to counter those. You've got to stay in your consciousness enough to counter whatever they're doing, playing. Dorma has an advantage of knowing when they're playing with her computer because she is not on the electric grid system. There should be no interruptions on her computer. And yet they can wipe out a whole program and then laugh at you. And then I'm not above letting you know what they've done. She quit writing, went upstairs, fed her parents, went back down to write. And then when they closed out the system, I mean, just freeze it. Freeze it. It will not do anything. And so EJ says to her, "Well, I don't understand your numbering. Did you write three times?" "No." "You didn't do a file that said number three?" "No." "Well, look here. And it says SVD, saved." "I believe it said 11113. "But there was no file." "There it was. But there was no document." "She didn't write a number three. She didn't even make an error, number three. These are games they're going to play with you. And all of you that work at a computer, if you have any knowledge of the computer, it's going to be more, didn't bother her." She doesn't know enough about it to bother her. But it's going to bother Dr. Young. Although I will say to Ed that he's going to be able to relax a little bit more. When things come out more in the open, they'll bother him less from the tunnels. And that's a relief in itself. I would like to hear from him, and let's close this off at the end of this tape. I don't want to go over. I'll let you off the hook, Nori.
Okay, before I have a brief writing from Soltech today. Really, I think he wrote it in conjunction with what he already knew Commander Hatton would talk about the pulse systems and the grids going up and related to that. But before I read that, I just wanted to mention briefly something for all of you that are trying to follow what will come out in this week's paper again. We've been privileged to have newer installments of a series that we started back in January called Fire from the Sky. And what Commander was just talking about, in that installment, we covered the first four shuttle missions a lot like how Commander covered them a long time ago, but with some other commentary and other related events brought in. So it's been kind of an exciting thing to follow, and those of you who read it will remember it from back in January and we'll probably be surprised that it was all the way back in January. We lose track of time. But we're back to that again. We've been gifted with some new installments of that material. And among the installments that are in this week's paper, aside from the HAARP system, is a mention of the vacuum of space and what Commander was just a minute ago talking about. And I just wanted to take just a brief moment to explain what all this business of zero-point energy and free energy and a vacuum in space is about. And I don't want to do it in any big physics lecture, just give you a thought to consider. And it has to do with something called dynamic equilibrium versus static equilibrium. And by that I mean, if you look at an area of space, or let's just take a connection where two train cars come together, you can't tell by standing there and looking at that connection point where the two cars come together whether the cars are just sitting there such that you could even disconnect the two cars from each other, or if those two cars are, shall we say, pushing against each other or pulling against each other with a huge amount of force. If those metal connectors are not pliable, you can't tell the difference between the one case and the other. In other words, in one case, a static equilibrium where the two of them are just sitting there doing nothing, the other where they're trying to pull each other apart to pieces, in that little snapshot right there where the connector is, you can't tell the difference. Now, if you could hear it, you might hear it groaning or something, but in point of physics perception or perspective, there is no way to tell those two apart. So what Commander is talking about, and what you have to keep in mind when you begin to read some of this material, is that what the crooks in high places know all about that has to do with free energy and what is dynamic equilibrium is to say that when you look at an area of empty space and you see nothing there, it's really not nothing. It's at least two forces pushing against each other in dynamic opposition. So if you can cause those two forces to shear in some way, I'm simplifying something quite complicated, but if you can cause them to shear in some way, there's a lot of energy there to be gotten. And this is what the oil companies and that do not want any of us mere humans to know about. And so when you get into the writings this week, you'll understand this a little better if I just explain it as something where you look and nothing's moving. It could be because two things are pushing hard against each other, which is a very active situation, as opposed to two things just sitting there making no motion at all. So that's my lecture on zero-point energy and dynamic versus static equilibrium. Now, Tonios is writing. Oh, first of all, earthquakes. I asked Tonios earlier if he intended to talk much about earthquakes, and I got almost a gruff response that I'm so damn busy, I'm not going to repeat what I already have talked about over and over again. But since Commander mentioned the small quake in San Bernardino, if any of you follow the weekly earthquake summaries, as I do, you will notice that the line that I first showed you a long time ago from Santa Barbara into Lake Isabella, and then the other line from Lake Isabella down through Ridgecrest, which is looking like a piece of Swiss cheese, on down through the Salton Sea and into Baja California, that entire area is so riddled with quake activity that it is beyond any of us watching it that it hasn't gone yet. Now, the worrisome nature of some of these so-called three-point quakes, and I say so-called because, you know, the Kmart scale, these three-point quakes, are that you don't know where the focus is. That is, the actual point of the breakage way down below the surface. So a breakage way down deep that only on the surface appears to be a three-point-something quake can be quite serious because it can be one straw before the straw that breaks the entire camel's back. And so Tonios' concern at this point for some of these so-called smaller quakes along San Bernardino are that they are indicative of what is about to break loose, is cleavage in that entire area. And, of course, within that big break, you have the small triangle around Palm Springs, which is a disaster beyond anything I've seen before. I don't know what besides the grace of God is keeping that from moving.
Nothing.
Figured.
And he's running out of grace.
That was the feed line. That was the feed line for the straight man's line for the funny man's line. So with that in mind, I'll read what Tonios had to say at noon today. Good afternoon, Tonio Soltec, present in the light of Holy God, a God whose patience is tried mightily these days as the adversarial forces step up their attacks on both people and planet to a level that becomes unacceptable for the greater working order of the cosmos, which you of Earth-Shan affect, whether or not you are aware of same. Specifically, at this time, we speak of the pulsed grid system of electromagnetic commotion, which is presently being put into the final stages of readiness for coordinated modulation on a global scale. Not just one state or country, mind you, but messing with the electromagnetics of planetary existence on a whole globe scale. Just from a geophysical perspective, you all are by now well aware of how precarious is the condition of the tectonic plates, the boundaries of which are where most volcanic and seismic activity occur. When the grid system is, to put it simply, turned up and down in volume or amplitude on a worldwide coordinated scale, there are profound effects on the Earth's own natural magnetic field, and the interactions between the unnatural grid field with the natural Earth field will cause torque, just like what you experience with trying to change the position of a spinning bicycle wheel you are holding in your hands at the axle. That trying to turn the wheel force is torque, and the grid-induced torque will not only cause simultaneous stress and thus potential motion on all the surface plates, but will contribute to the wobble of Earth on its axis. Likewise, there may be ignition of your atmosphere. These are serious considerations, as you can see, just from an understanding of our previous lessons on these subjects. Now, Commander Hatton may wish to address this next related subject in greater detail, and in fact he has, than I shall hear, but I would be remiss to not at least give passing mention to the serious physiological and psychological effects of this grid system on you of the ground crew. Histamine production, like electronically induced allergies, is just one of the possible physiological reactions. Skipping heartbeats, extra ear ringing, sleep cycle interruptions, forgetfulness, disorientation, depression, and lethargy are all possible reactions. Countering these is a matter of keeping one's shielding up and frequency up, and does require conscious, determined effort, not just some half-hearted wishful thinking about druthers. I leave you now as one who is quite busy watching what your elite have planned to subject you all to in the very near future, and we of the hosts watch with great compassion as you on the front lines of attack must adjust to these assaults on your higher sensibilities. Whether it is the latest insulting commercial message on your vidyut boxes or an electromagnetic blast from a pulse grid system, the body, mind, and soul are affected, and we can but be available to help as you request same. Thank you for the jobs you perform to get the truth out to the four corners. Know that we are as near as a mental call. Just make sure you're ready for the answers. Keep those shields up and keep your sense of humor. Tonio Soltec to clear in the radiant light of God. Salut.
Thank you. I don't want to be remiss in not thanking you for doing your job and receiving. I'm not going to ask anybody else to share. I would say that I am eternally grateful to Thomas for sharing. It's hard for you ones to be receivers. Once you are involved, you don't know where to go to get your own fuel tank filled up. It seems like it would be really easy, and one say, oh, well, you're so close to Hatton, just ask him. It's not like that. And the moment that you ask something of a very personal nature, you suddenly don't trust any of the answers. So we get remiss and careless. And, oh, my goodness, of course they know. We're a little bit like you with husbands and wives and children. Of course they know I love them. They don't know unless you tell them. In their heart, they know. But they need the reassurance. And we get very careless about it. And it was a long, long haul here with no confident input. But you see, you're growing confident now. And there'll come a day when all begin to hear. You know now. It's just easier to have it spill out from someone else and still share that responsibility up a little bit. These gentlemen have a long haul in front of them. You see, as my work begins to drift off in the scientific arena, theirs picks up. That's what they're for. That's what they're here for. Of course they're not going to understand that bottle of Dreas. It's not theirs to understand. But they're going to understand the mechanisms when the time is right and the connections are made. I am pleased that Mark will be out here. Because I believe that Mark and Bob James are going to be able to work together very, very well. You are going to have to struggle through some of the incredible pressures of this society on you, no matter what you build. Bob already has a motor. And I would like to tell you that there is a mechanism to super, what do I say in this room? Super hype? Diesel fuel?